the first scripture I would like to open my discussion with is from Zephaniah 3:8-9. And from the RVIC, it talks about the destruction of Babylon the Great and also her daughters. So in this scripture, that's Zephaniah 3:8-9, "Therefore wait ye for me, says Jehovah, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination or judgment is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then I will turn to the peoples a pure language, that they may call upon the name of Jehovah to serve him with consent." Included in this destruction of Babylon the Great is also her daughters. Babylon the Great is the mother of harlots. She is the abomination of the earth. This fallen woman was exalted to power and backed by the kings of the earth, the civil powers. Yes, the apostate church lost her pure virgin purity to suit the world's ideas. And in return, she received, and even to some extent today, power from the world. And she still exercises a certain amount of influence and power from this system. So when destruction comes upon Babylon, the world empire of false religion, its calamities will involve the entire civil, social, religious systems, and mankind will be affected, as again quoted in Zephaniah that we just read before. "Therefore, wait for me, says Jehovah, until the day that I rise up to my prey. For my determinations or judgments is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour on them my indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy." And Babylon the Great's downfall will be included. It will be swift and complete, as recorded in Revelation 18:21. "And a strong angel took up a stone, as it were a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall Babylon, the great city, be cast down and shall be found no more at all." This great harlot has two parts. The holy, and we could put a question mark on that, Roman Catholic Church, and her daughters, the remainder of so-called Christendom. Many will ask, as they probably did in Brother Russell's day, but what about the great Protestant religious reformation? Surely she or they will not be included in the downfall of this great harlot? Well, it may not have been the attention of the reformers, but today the results of the Reformation and the various offsprings have not resulted in the pure language of God's word. Again, I want to stress Zephaniah, this time chapter 3, verse 9. "For then I will turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call on the name of Jehovah to serve him with one consent." Also, brethren, note God's word. It does not say call on the Lord, but call on Jehovah. The religions of today do not have this pure language. How can they? They only know one Lord, and he is a triune God made up of three in one, all eternal, all equal. So therefore, truly, they are the daughters of Babylon the Great. Revelation 17:5 is so accurate, brethren, when it calls the papal system the mother of harlots. And today it is quite plain. It stands out, as the saying goes, like a sore thumb. that both systems work together, and mother and daughters, even to the extent that they have interfaith meetings and dealings with Islam and also pagan religions. They work with Babylon, the great harlot, and glory in their shame, all unaware of the brand that they must accept from God's word, which classes them with this system, this religious system, the papacy, as the mother of harlots. Also, brethren, as we know from the prophet Daniel, the accurate knowledge of the truth was locked up to the last days, as specified in Daniel, and that is in Daniel 12:9. And he said, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed till the time of the end." So we see that the Reformation was not intended to bring about the pure language, but was intended to break the power of her mother and set the way open for God's grand plan of the ages. By keeping most of the main doctrines of her mother, which is the Trinity, and many other doctrines such as the clergy class, their rituals, splendid dress during ceremonial occasions, interaction and involvement in politics and world events, participating in warfare, and yet at the same time claiming to be either the espoused virgin or the bride of Christ, and as just stated, courting the favour and receiving the support of the world at the price of disloyalty to Christ. So in reality, the various Protestant organisations fully correspond to being the daughters of the great harlot Babylon the Great. They parted from their mother, and though there were many sincere individuals, most had inherited the false doctrines, and it was not long until they fell into many of the same bad practices as I just noted. We should therefore state that it is only the true congregation, the ecclesia, the temple class, the bride, that has ever been the true ecclesia of God. So, brethren, after all these years since the Reformation, the so-called Christian religions have gone backwards, and they are further away from the true light than in the days of their founders. This was stated by Brother Russell in Volume 4, pages 31. And I think if that was the case in 1897, how much more is it applicable today? We must remember that it is not the members of these faiths who are to be blamed. We notice that our Lord Jesus Christ always spoke kindly of his people, and yet they followed their religious teachers, the scribes and the Pharisees. In fact, he felt compassion for them. And I think Brother Ray mentioned this scripture in Matthew 23:37. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the killer of the prophets and stoners of those sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you did not want it. Yes, our Lord cared about his people. We could also read in Matthew 9:35-36. And Jesus set out on a tour of all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom, and curing every sort of infirmity. On seeing the crowds, he felt pity for them, because they were skinned and thrown about like sheep without a shepherd. Brethren, here is the answer. He felt for them because their religious leaders had left them spiritually starving. He referred to them, their religious leaders, that is, in Matthew 15:14, as blind guides, and in Matthew 23, nearly the whole chapter deals with the way he viewed them. Blind guides, hypocrites, serpents, offsprings of vipers. And he pronounces judgment on them, so that there may come upon you all the righteous blood spilled on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Barachiah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Many people of the world also would agree with the content of this scripture. I quote from an internet site called EconLog, which deals with economics and culture, dated October the 31st, 2017. And in a discussion and post by the owner of this site, Brian Kaplan, he stated, "Hard questions about the Protestant Reformation." And he went on to state that if all Christendom believed in freedom of speech and religion, each and every bloodbath would have been averted. Just think, brethren, how many millions would have been saved in the last two world wars if the major religious leaders and their congregations had stood up and refused to fight. Earlier in this discourse, I mentioned what Brother Russell had to say about the state of the Protestant religions. That was about 130 years ago. Let us go to our time now and look at their spiritual state today. First, we'll take the Methodist Church. They have major divisions, schisms, over homosexuality, particularly same-sex marriages. In fact, in January the 3rd, 2020, the Religion News Service reported that, and I quote, "United Methodists plan to split the church over LGBT ordination and marriage." They even have not been able to determine if the Bible is the inspired word of God. They are asking, does it mean that the Bible is inspired when written? As an example, they quote, "Is it without error, or does it become inspired when it is actually read by a Christian?" Also, like the Catholic Church and mainline Protestant churches, they see no conflict in the belief in the theory of evolution. In fact, many of their leading clergy state the people of faith should accept it, that is, evolution. In April 2016, the United Methodist News said, and I quote, "It's time for people of faith to accept evolution." Now we'll go to the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby. He is the head of over 85 million Anglicans worldwide. He even himself, as the Archbishop of this faith, admits that he has doubts about the existence of God. During his BBC interview in 2014, he went on to say, "The other day I was running with my dog and I prayed to God saying, 'Look, this is all very well, but isn't it about time you did something?'" And I suppose he's talking about the problems in the world today. And then what did he say? "If you are there." What a strange statement. He also went on to say that his doubts of God's existence were a regular occurrence. Many times he questions why the Almighty has failed to prevent injustice. He fully supports the consecration of women as bishops and went on to describe that the rejection of the church to install women as bishops in 2012 was a grim day for the church. Although the Anglican and Church of England in the early 2000s opposed the marriage of gays and lesbians, but things have slowly progressed to their acceptance. And in the following years, the church has commissioned various commissions, which also included the LGBT community, as well as conservative Christians. And as we know, during the following years, as the world started to accept the LGBT community, the churches, that is the mainstream churches, have also followed. Take, for example, a survey of senior clergy from each of the seven mainline Protestant denominations in the USA in the year 2009. with 2,658 participants. 29% supported the LGBT movement, and they say it is not a sin. 30% oppose it and say it is a sin, and the remaining 41% support them, that is the LGBT movement, in various degrees. We now move to the present time, because this was 2009, and we find the Church of England, the Anglicans, have accepted in various degrees the ordination of women and gays into the church leadership, into those leadership roles. Even as early as the year 2016, the General Synod announced that it had elected a gay married priest. During the same year, the Bishop of Grantham, that's in the United Kingdom, the Right Reverend Nicholas Chamberlain, announced that he was gay and in a relationship with his male partner. Now let us look at the official stance of the Catholic Church. Officially, the Pope and the Vatican will not recognise or bless the marriage of homosexuals in the Church, but they will recognise a civil marriage of homosexuals. If a homosexual person is in a full relationship, they are not allowed to take communion, but they are able to participate in the public and spiritual life of their parish, but they are not allowed to serve in a leadership role. They can attend confession, and at death they will be given the last rites and receive a church funeral. Although this is the official view, there is still dissent. A group of 350 Catholic priests have said that they will still continue to defy the Pope's ruling and continue to bless homosexual civil marriages. So after looking into the churches today, we can see that in no way can they find any favour in God's eyes. One more thing I would like to bring to your attention is the effect that Martin Luther had on Germany with his vile rants against the Jews. In 1543, Luther published On the Jews and Their Lies. And this is what he had to say. The Jews are a base, warring people. Warring people, that is, no people of God. And their boasts of lineage, circumcision, and law must be accounted as filth. Also, he calls for the burning of their synagogues, schools, the burning of their prayer books, rabbis to be forbidden to preach, homes to be razed, their property and money confiscated. They should be shown no mercy, no kindness, no legal protection. He goes further, saying we are at fault for not slaying them. There is a lot more, brethren, but some of it is not fit to repeat. Do his rantings seem familiar to you? Well, if you go further on in time to the rise of Hitler and the Nazi Party, this is what they believed. And in fact, many historians are now saying that the influence of Luther's hatred to the Jews contributed significantly to the development and rise of anti-Semitism in Germany. And during the 1930s to 1940s, provided the ideal foundation for the Nazi Party's attack on Jews. In fact, just about every anti-Jewish book printed in the Third Reich contained references and quotations from Luther. And shortly after Kristallnacht, Martin Sasse, the bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Thuringia, that would be in Germany, quoting from Luther, applauded the burning of the synagogues and went on to say, the German people, he urged, ought to heed these words of the greatest anti-Semite of his time. That is Luther. He warned the people against the Jews. I also quote from Christopher J. Probus' book, Demonizing the Jews, Luther and the Protestant Church in Nazi Germany, 2012. He went on to say that a large number of German Protestant clergy and theologians during the Nazi Third Reich used Luther's hostile publications toward the Jews and their religion to justify, at least in part, the anti-Semitic policies of the National Socialists. And on December the 17th, 1941, seven Lutheran regional church confederations issued a statement agreeing with the policy of forcing Jews to wear the yellow badge. Since after his bitter experience, Luther had strongly suggested preventive measures against the Jews and their expulsion from German territory. But there were some, brethren, but not many, of the clergy, including the Catholic faith, who did stand up, and they lost their lives for it. But in the main, the majority remained silent. It is worthwhile stating that the population of Germany at this time was 60 million, made up of 40 million Lutheran Protestants and 20 million Catholics. Just imagine what would have happened if they would have all stood up and refused to participate in the Nazi party or join the armed forces. Also very interesting is the relationship that the fascist state had under Mussolini had with the Vatican Church during this period as well. Newly released documents have shown that the Vatican had more to do with the fascists than they would admit, especially with regards to the persecution of Jews in Italy. The Catholic Church was only concerned about Jews in Italy who had converted to the Catholic faith. The Church itself was very anti-Semitic. Brothers and sisters, we can clearly see why our Heavenly Father is gathering these apostate religions, mother and daughters, together for their downfall at the Battle of Armageddon, which is described in detail in the 17th and 18th chapters of Revelation. Let us read why she's doomed in chapter 17, verse 6. And I saw the woman, that is Babylon the Great, drunken with the blood of the saints, that is the holy ones, and with the blood of the martyrs, that are the witnesses of Jesus. Revelation 18:4. Come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins, and that you receive not her plagues. For her sins have reached even unto heaven, and God have remembered her iniquities. 18 chapter, verses 21 to 24, and a strong angel took up a stone, as it were a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with a violence shall Babylon the great city be cast down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the princes of the earth, for with thy sorcery were all the nations deceived. In her was found the blood of prophets and of the saints, that is the holy ones, and of all that have been slain upon the earth. This period of time spoken of had been set in motion since the year 1799, and though the subsequent process of consumption has been slow, and there have been occasional signs of apparent recovery, but we know that she and her daughter's destruction is positive, even though they have joined together and tried to bring more religious harmony and tolerance with their world prayer days, etc. Nothing is going to stand in the way of our mighty God and his Son, the risen King. Yes, her destruction is sealed. It will be swift and violent and complete. So, brethren, we must ask ourselves, have we completely obeyed the command given in Revelation to get out of her, have no fellowship with her? As stated earlier on in the beginning of this discourse, it is not the people who make up their congregations who are the problems. They lack proper shepherds. They stumble in darkness. They're starved of spiritual food. But as Jesus pointed out, it was the religious Jewish system that was rotten. Their spiritual leaders were following Satan, not the scriptures. They were plotting the Messiah's death. So today the same thing has taken place. Unfortunately, there are brethren who think that it is okay to have some contact with them, send their children to private schools. If you are lonely and have no Bible students in the area, then it's all right to attend their services. If you're on holidays or on a cruise, it's okay to attend religious services. And some, unfortunately, have disregarded the Bible's command to not become unevenly yoked with unbelievers. Why would we think that we could find spiritual solace in Babylon and her daughters? They believe in a triune God. There is no light there. The command given to us in Revelation is quite clear. Get out of her. This means that we must have complete separation from the binding yokes of all Christendom to have no part in her religious organizations or services. On principle, as soon as the increased light of truth illuminates in our minds and manifests her errors, we should completely withdraw from her and her apostate teachings. Let us read 2 Peter, finally, that is chapter 2, verses 20 and 22. For after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The last is become worse with them than the first. It has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog turning to his own vomit again, and the sow that has washed to wallowing in the mire. So let us be completely free from Babylon the Great and her daughters, for her destruction is near. Amen. Thank you, brethren.